Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's Cinco de Mayo. I hope you guys have a fiesta planned in your backyard, a fiesta party, because I think I might bust out a margarita today and celebrate this wonderful spring weather. I don't know about where you are, but we busted 80 this week. And it felt dang good to feel the heat of the sun and just get out with the flip-flops on and make it happen. We're going to go wild a little bit today on the Barbie. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
Hey, we're going to broadcast today in a little bit of Spanglish.
Yeah.
So hang on.
It's going to be really good.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. We are the Grilling Guys, and it is the weekend, so it's the best time of the week. That means for most of us, not so much work at the regular job and maybe some honeydew stuff. Mother's Day coming up, Cinco de Mayo today or yesterday if you're listening to this on Sunday. But had a little pre-Cinco de Mayo celebration yesterday. There's a great chain of restaurants in northern Michigan called La Señorita. And I found one in Lansing yesterday, and I had lunch there. And tortilla soup was phenomenal. It's the kind of place where you can go in and there's a basket of chips. You just get your own salsa. They had some salsa verde, and I just love that chain. It's a small chain, and it's nice to run into some good Mexican food.
Yeah, pretty much everybody has some sort of good Mexican food in their neighborhood or in the town that they live in. At least I hope you do, because I enjoy it.
I do too.
It is a great flavor, and it's a great way to present food. You look on the menu, and it always blows me away that about 75% of the ingredients in every Mexican dish are the same, and then they just put a little something extra in there on the end and call it something different. And you go to the Mexican restaurant, like the one you talked about, there might be 70 things on the menu. It's like, man, there is a lot of variety here, and they're all the same, but they're all different, right?
Yeah, it's always fun to explore. I'm a spicy food guy, as you know, so I'm usually digging into the jalapenos pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not even hot anymore.
Right, when in doubt, just burn it out. Yeah, that'll work. Hey, speaking of burning something, we Barbecue Bob and I left the show last week and hit the age steaks. We had on the show about a year ago a gentleman that had a device called a steak ager, and I bought one, and we put a couple standing rib roasts in that thing and let them set in there 34 days. And what it is, it's a dry aging device that puts a little UV light to keep the mold down, and it has a little fan to circulate air. But I put it in a beer fridge, right? Just the countertop high beer fridge. I didn't have anything else in there and let it set in there for 34 days.
And there's a good point. You don't want anything else in there because it gases pretty good.
Yes, it does. You're going through the, as Bob said, the rigor mortis phase. But what you're doing when you're dry aging is you're getting the moisture out of the meat. You're concentrating the flavors and the enzymes break that meat down and make it more tender. So last weekend was the day where we brought those out, put them on a board, took the bones off the ribs, and then there we had this chunk of prime rib, and it had this big hard crust on the outside.
So Jop brought them out to my house. I fired up the Cajun grill.
Right.
We did them on nice Parker lump charcoal, and we put them on the counter. He trimmed off, we jointly trimmed off the crummy part. Zeus was happy to find all that decayed outer carcass.
Yeah. And what it does is it gets hard and crusty, and you just want to cut enough of it away so you're into what would be the tender meat.
The better color.
Right.
As soon as you see a nice red, that's when you quit carving.
Right. And very clearly you could see the difference.
Real obvious.
So once we trimmed it all off, and then we set them on the counter to come up to room temperature with some seasonings, And then just grilled them like you would any other piece with, I mean, beautiful marbling in these cuts that we picked this one up from Sobey Meats, but you could get them at your local butcher shop
anywhere.
Well,
there's a good story, too, because you got one from a big box store.
That's right. I did, and that's where I was going to go. Well, it was interesting because the one I got from my butcher was $13.50 a pound, pretty standard price for standing prime. Well, then my steak ager wasn't full. I didn't buy one big enough to fill it. So I had 4 or 5 inches left. So what I did is I'm at the big box store, and they'll remain nameless, but they had them on sale for $7.99 a pound, half basically of what I paid at my butcher. So I brought it home, and I put it in the steak ager right beside the other one.
Now, did you have to do anything to that meat before you put it in?
I did not. Okay. I did not. You just set it in right out of the meat case.
Know.
Right. So I set it in there, but here's the phenomena. Over the course of the 34 days, this stuff is supposed to, as it ages, it darkens and gets this beautiful mahogany color. Well, the one from the big box store didn't.
Stayed red.
It stayed bright red. And I called, I happened to be having a dipsy doodle with my butcher, Tim Sobey. So I brought it up to him because I didn't know. And Tim made this declaration to me that I'll never forget now. And he said that the big box stores will put carbon monoxide, not dioxide, but carbon monoxide, like comes out of your exhaust pipe.
In their cooler.
In the package with it.
Oh.
To when they seal it up. They,
no kidding.
But it keeps it red longer.
They gas it.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily preserve the meat any. It just keeps it red on the outside, and it still is, I mean, we could taste the difference between the two. You could certainly see the difference after 34 days,
yeah.
But you could taste the difference too. And that was a revelation of this whole thing. Is
see
that,
your local butcher.
Right.
He's going to take care of you.
Right. And yep, you know what? I spent twice as much, but it was 5 pounds, guys, right? So I spent $35 on a project that I wanted to do.
And here's the cool thing. What do you call that device?
It's called a steak ager.
And you bought it online.
Yes.
Okay, if you like aged steaks and you don't think you can afford them, because most of us can't when you go into a restaurant, you'll pay $80 for that steak.
Right.
You could buy one of these. If everybody has a little dorm fridge in their house somewhere,
right,
convert it over, put that box in there, and try it yourself, because it's really a fairly affordable experiment.
Right, $199 for the little machine, and then you put it in there. And I tell you what, it was... We had, I think there was 7 pounds of prime rib that we started with, and we ended up with
maybe five.
Five, 4.5, 5 pounds. We got 7 really nice steaks out of it.
Well worth your time and effort because
it was,
man.
I would say that it was, you aren't going to cut it with a fork, but it was definitely close. Butter knife.
Close.
You didn't need a steak knife by any means. It was butter knife tender, and wow, just really flavorful. Salt and pepper, you know, just don't let the meat do the work.
So here's the deal. If you are that guy that's always competing in the backyard, you got to get one of these because your neighbor won't have one. There's a reason to have one.
Yeah, but honestly, this was the first chunks of meat that we put through it. I'm refilling it this coming week, and I'm just going to do a New York strip. And you buy these things not cut up in steaks. You want a whole primal piece.
And that
piece.
Was about 28 days to 32 days?
34 days we had it in there. Yeah. Yep, we had it in there 34 days.
And they consider
days.
28 days to be the threshold.
Right. Yep. Yep.
So you were right in the middle of where it should have been.
And it turned out great. And
yeah.
Now, what you're going to be pained over is you cut away a lot.
Yep.
You got that piece of meat that you've been, you know, making love to for the last 34 days.
Your dog won't mind at all.
Right. And you cut a bunch of it off, that pellicle.
Because raw red meat's actually good for your dog. My vet's convinced me of that. So my dog gets plenty of it.
Right. Coming up next, we're going to go wild on the Barbie. Maybe raid your freezer, see what kind of wild game you got left from last fall, and we're going to cook it up. Stick with us. We'll be back. All around the bends, you could have a bumper car bumping. This amusement never ends. I wanna be the sledgehammer.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Welcome back. This is Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, and it's Cinco de Mayo where we are, and if you're listening to us on Sunday night, that was yesterday, and you're now just walking through the hangover a little bit. But anyway, I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob, and you are listening to the Grilling Guys. What's cooking, man?
Yeah, welcome back. Thanks for joining us again for the second segment. We want to talk about a little pheasant, which is one of Jop's favorite birds to shoot and eat. And I like them too. So I want to ask you, have you ever tried grilling pheasant breast?
Yes.
I know we've smoked them together. You've smoked them.
Right.
Many people do smoking, but and, the grilling, because a lot of people don't have a smoker.
Right. And I would, there's a couple things that come to mind. First answer is yes, I have. And the first time or two was unsuccessful because I grilled them over direct heat.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to cook these over indirect heat because they're very, very lean.
So you can use a grill.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And cook it like a skinless, boneless chicken breast. So, you know, be cognizant of your temperature because you get them too done, they're going to be shoe leather.
So this is not like a chicken. You don't need to bring it to 165.
Correct.
It's wild fowl.
Right.
What do you suppose a good temp is? 145?
Yeah, that's where I was going to go, mm-hmm. 140, 145. And it won't hurt you a bit. You know, it's not, it is wild game and it'll be just fine. You get much above that, you're going to dry it out and you're not going to like it. And, you know, I guess my other thing is that I would put it in something, some sort of a sauce or a marinade or a brine.
Before you grill it.
Yeah, before you grill mm-hmm. it, just to give it some moisture because mm-hmm. you are just looking at a pure muscle.
So that, even if it's just a little, water with some orange in it and salt and pepper and a touch of sugar.
Right.
Give it 6 hours, 8 hours. Let it absorb some
right.
some hydro.
Go easy on the acid in the citrus because that'll cook it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like
that's
it,
why I say six max.
Yep, right. Yep.
But if it's an orange, it's a little less acidic than lemon, and
right.
orange with fowl
is wonder.
It is wonderful.
Yep.
So smoked wild turkey breasts. Everybody's that's a turkey hunter has been successful this spring. There's a lot of turkey out, and I'm seeing pictures on Facebook galore of people bagging their turkeys.
Right.
And I think most people simply eat the breasts off those. What do you think?
Yeah, you can take the thighs and the legs off them, but they're tough. This is a bird that runs for a living, runs to live.
Runs from coyotes.
Right, and it'll fly, I mean, obviously, but their first mode is to run. And so those leg muscles are used extensively, and it can be tough.
So they've got biker legs.
Yeah, right. the breast meat is where it's at. Obviously, there's more of it, too. So, like anything wild, you're getting a very, very lean piece of meat. So you've got to add some moisture to it and make sure you don't overcook it.
So I love smoking turkey breasts. I have to fess up, I've never smoked a wild turkey breast, but I got to believe it's close to a domestic. But again, I think you're going to want to hydrate it. But this is a piece of meat, and you're plucking the turkey anyway. So if you can carve it out with the skin on it, you're going to be better off. If you don't, if you just skin it, then I'm going to tell you that when you smoke that thing, you're going to want to lay some bacon over top of it.
Right.
So that you have some added fat to it, because it's incredibly lean. But
and you don't have to eat the bacon. I mean, if you're trying to be healthy and keep that lean piece of meat, you think, well, why would I ruin that with
Save
bacon?
Save it for the guy at the table that will.
Right, exactly, because somebody will.
Yeah.
But the bacon seals in the moisture and will impart a little bit of flavor, but not a lot. It's just on the outside. But what it's going to do is keep that big, dense piece of meat from drying out.
Okay, here's a little bacon tip.
Okay.
The most unlikely spot to find bacon, Menards.
What?
In their food section, they have this little cooler at the end of it. And every now and then, they have Armour Black Label Bacon, the 24-ounce package, for like $4 a package, frozen. Menards, crazy prices on some stuff. I fill up my basket with bacon when I'm there. It's because it's Black Label. It's phenomenal. Anyway.
Is it good?
It's really good.
I mean, I don't know.
Armour Black Label? Yeah, it's pricey stuff, but Menards must buy it out of the freezer, close out, something. I don't know, but $4.44 a pack. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
You know how expensive bacon is now?
Well, I understand.
It's gotten ridiculous.
I mean, it's low on the hog.
And they're all tricking you. They're going to these 12-ounce packages and selling it for $4.99.
Yeah.
No, it's a 12-ounce package.
Right.
That makes it like $7 or $8 a pound. Come on. Get off it. Now, how can you sell a tenderloin for $1.39 a pound?
Like right, that? Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, it's called demand. That's why chicken wings are $2.99 a pound, and you can buy the breast
That's
for $1.99 a pound.
That's crazy.
Right? There's two breasts and two wings on that thing, but you know what? I think probably genetics are trying to find a way to grow four or five wings on a bird because they're so damn popular now. But.
So you just gave somebody a good idea.
Right, yeah.
So freezer venison, if you're trying to clean out your freezer, and my freezer is cleaning itself out because we're not putting anything in it right now because it's usually overloaded. And when the door pops open on its own, that's a sign that you got to start eating food because you ruin everything, which I found out. Venison. Now, what most people end up with, I'm finding, is a few packs of ground venison and a couple roasts.
Right.
The steaks go first, right?
Right.
And the burger, because you get a lot of burger if you have it ground. And the roasts are generally lesser favorites, but they're really good. There's something great to cook there. But you can thaw that roast out and cut it into 1.5-inch sections and then slice it into little quarter-inch strips and throw it in one of your favorite jerky recipes. Now, we have a bunch of them on our website at thegrillingguys.com. You can find plenty of jerky recipes. There's some that are called 8 Crazy Ways or something. Just go up in the search bar on the top right and put in jerky, and you'll find one where we put like 8 different recipes on one. All 8 of those are phenomenal. I'm getting hungry thinking about them because
right.
I love jerky. And venison roasts are great for jerky.
Right.
And especially if it's been in the freezer a while, maybe the flavor's not quite what you want anymore.
Yep. I've got last October's bow kill. I boned out the two hindquarters, and they're in each one of them.
So that's all you kept?
No, I've got the rest of it too that we haven't eaten. But where I was going is I have two of those roasts.
Oh.
And the
hind roasts.
Yes, they're hind roasts. It's the hind quarter. They're boned. And they're shrunk wrapped.
So that'd be a rump
and frozen.
Roast.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
And frozen. And I should pull one of those out and do that because you taught me how to do this, but when you make jerky and you make it in a little bit thicker chunks, it doesn't get so dry and
right.
where you got to rip it.
Right.
You can still bite it like
right.
a piece of steak.
So it doesn't
and
pull your caps off.
Right. That that texture difference makes all the difference to me. I really
me
enjoy
too.
It much better
yep.
when it isn't that hard, like shoe leather type. Piece of meat and it's still got a lot of flavor in it. When it's a bigger chunk, it seems to get more flavor on it.
And yeah, fresh out of the smoker.
Yeah,
there's nothing like
it's almost so warm you can't touch it.
Yes, nothing better than fresh jerky out of the smoker. So freezer venison, even some old roast beefs. If you've got an old chuck in the freezer and you want to get rid of it, chuck makes fantastic jerky.
Right.
Just cut the freezer burn off if you've got any and cut it in quarter-inch strips lengthwise. You might want to take the fat off it because chuck's going to have a lot of fat.
Yep.
It'll just mess up your smoker. But, again, chuck roast makes an absolutely perfect jerky, and we found it out in Topeka hunting with Rob Russell.
Yeah, Cowboy Rob Russell threw some of that on. I'm like, this is going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
No. It was my attitude that sucked. That stuff was great. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to give you 8 reasons to eat something out of the sea. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you, a pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the grilling guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the Cinco de Mayo weekend. Hopefully you're going to get out and do a little fiesta in your backyard. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
I bet you in Mexico they grill octopus.
They might. I mean, it's a local, well, I don't know if they grow them there or not, but I guess it depends on what part of Mexico you're in.
On the grilling line right now, we have Cousin Joe. How are you doing, Joe Bomarito?
Not bad, guys. How are you today?
Joe lives just down the street from me. Our wives are cousins, and he's too much fun. But this is a guy that lives by my mantra that I'll eat anything that won't eat me first. He actually will, and he shamed me. I gave him some frozen octopus and because I got a bunch of this seafood, and I couldn't fit it all in my freezer, and then I got more. So I'm like, okay, I've never cooked octopus. Joe will. So I called him up. He was right there. How'd that work out for you, brother?
It worked out pretty good, man. I enjoyed it. I can't wait to do some more next week. So
I gave him some of these frozen octopus. And tell us, first of all,
where do you get? Is that in a store? Or?
Bob Dubisky.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
They're in the stores.
The distributor brought it.
They're
to
in
you.
The stores. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Aisle 8?
You get it right at Myers.
That's right.
Yeah. Is that aisle number 8, right? I don't know. Where do you find it? I've never seen
10,
it.
But, yeah.
So he's playing on the Okta. So tell us what you did to that little puss before you put him on.
Well, it's pretty easy. First, you got to boil it for a while. You got to boil it for about 20, 25 minutes, get all the ink or the dye or what out of it. And then all
eco
you do
to
is
dial? You said eco to dial?
No. get the ink out of it, pretty much, the ink or the dye. And then I just put it on the grill with some olive oil, salt, and pepper. That's all you need. Once you char the ends of it, it's perfect. Doesn't take very long, but about 5-8 minutes on there, and it's pretty good.
So. Okay, so these were like maybe a pound a piece?
Yeah, they weren't too big. They were just nice little ones, too.
So they were baby octopi.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole litter.
Yeah, that's all I need. So.
And how did it taste? What's the flavor profile?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, we're Italian. We've been eating this stuff all our lives, but it's a little chewy, but it's good. It's hard to tell you what the taste is. It's almost kind of like a.
Say it.
It's got the
texture, tastes like chicken.
It's got the texture of alligator. If you've ever had alligator,
yeah.
So it's got that kind of texture. It's a little chewy, but it's good.
So anything like calamari?
Pretty much, yeah. It's just you don't have all the breading and stuff. So
right.
Okay, so you just good. Like. Start cutting tentacles and popping them in your mouth, or do you put this in a salad,
you can put it in a salad. I ate it just like that. I was eating it right outside. I just got there with the knife and started cutting it up right out by the barbecue. So.
And do you eat the entire animal, or do you just
eat? I cut the head off. Ate the rest of it. So.
I see.
There's only a small head on it, so
he draws the line at eating the head.
Right.
Yeah, well,
that's a respect thing.
Yes. Now, Joe's famous in our family for having a hog roast every year. He has a massive blowout, and it's coming up. I won't say your address over the air.
Yeah, you can't do that. I got enough parking for 200 people, but after that, the cops are coming.
So. And I don't think we've ever had that, have we? The cops
or 200 people?
Never had the cops.
We've had the 200 people. We just haven't had the cops. It's over 200 people we worry about. So we had a band last year, and I think we're having a band again this year too. So
good. Well, anyway, they do a hog roast every year, and it's a ton of fun. This guy's a real foodie. He's brave. He cooks octopi. Joe Bomarito. Oh, what's the name of your business?
Cedar Hill Homes, man. Come up and buy a new modular home. We got a house for you.
He's been in the modular home business for a long, long time. He's very successful.
30 years now because of you, Bob.
Yeah, that's right. How about that? So
Are you blaming him or praising him for that?
Yeah. It's been good for him, and he's done a great job. Honest guy, if you're looking for a modular home, he's got a beautiful selection of homes up there just north of Grand Rapids, about 20 minutes.
Yeah, nice.
Awesome, guys.
Thanks,
hey,
buddy.
Kill them and grill them, guys.
All right.
We'll do
it.
Kill them and grill them. You guys have a good day.
Thanks,
Joe. Joe Bomarito, Cedar Hill Homes, Cedar Springs. Go up and get a modular and taste his octopus.
Right. Maybe not in that order.
Try the octopus before you buy a house.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's a cool story, though, because I was such a little girl. I said, I don't know.
Dude,
I'm doing? I have more of them. I'm putting one on the grill. I cannot be one-upped by the cousin down the street.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, all right.
We had Joe on a couple of years ago because he loves rabbit.
Right.
And I'm just kind of okay with rabbit. It's. I don't know.
It's got to be quartered. I can't put a whole one in the pot. It just looks wrong.
I've had too many pet rabbits. Yeah. I just, it'd be like eating a cat to me. You know, it'd be like one of my cats.
Speaking of which, Michelle's granddaughter wants a pet rabbit. Well, they have a 90-pound lab.
Don't do it.
In the same house.
Don't
like,
do it.
Honey, this is not going to work.
No.
And she's like, well, I'll keep the rabbit in the cage. I said, but the one time you don't, you're going to see that dog is going to enjoy that rabbit.
Yep.
Right? I'm like, those pets don't mix. It just made me think of that.
So let's talk about some mussels, okay?
Mussels?
Yes. And that same batch of frozen seafood that I have a lot of mussels.
Now those I like because you can grill those, you can steam them, you can broil them.
There's nothing better than a bucket of mussels when you're at the right pub that does New England style seafood fare.
Right.
But I, in particular, like to grill them.
Mm-hmm.
They're easy to grill.
Sure.
You just soak them in some fresh salt water to get them cleaned up, and you literally throw them on the grill. When they pop open, you squirt some lemon and some sea salt and pepper on them, maybe Tabasco or whatever you like. I happen to like a little Louisiana hot sauce on them. But mussels, that's a beautiful thing to throw on the grill because you know when they're done?
They pop open.
That's right.
Yeah. It's like, well, looky there.
How about that?
Yeah.
So and it sends a little message to your phone and everything. It's really convenient.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you can hear them flexing.
Yeah, that's right.
My question is that a hot grill? Is that a warm grill? What do you usually do with that?
400 degrees surface.
Okay, so it's hot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not
wide
open.
It's as hot as most people's will get.
Yeah, but it's a hot grill, and you don't want to overcook those, right? Because when they pop open,
they're
done.
When they pop, you got to grab them.
Right.
And you throw them on a platter, and you just keep grilling them up, and you have a bunch of lemon wedges ready. Or if you want to juice your lemon, you can just pour it on with a little dropper or something like that. Doesn't take much lemon. A little lemon goes a long way. But then some sea salt and some cracked pepper, and dang, they're tasty.
Now, when you serve these, you're serving them in the shell,
absolutely.
Correct? And the shell isn't, like, you aren't doing a half shell. You're doing the whole shell is still there,
but
it's just popped open enough that you can drop some lemon in there, a squirt of this or that, and
You could actually, you know, if you wanted to put a little chili sauce, you know, some of that Frank's sweet and sour chili sauce or whatever, that sweet chili.
Yep.
That'd be really good on them.
So you're looking to spice them up a little bit.
Yeah.
And give them a little bit of a zing.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Because they're a little dull, but they're, I don't know, they're addicting.
They're tender.
Yes.
They're very tender. Beautiful. If you get good ones. And
that's why you got to grab them right when it pops open.
Yeah.
It's been on 4 minutes maybe.
Mm-hmm. No pearls in them. Those are oysters, right?
I think they're oysters.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. But I enjoy those. It's not something I'd eat every day, but it's kind of fun when you're, especially now that the weather's broke, it feels like summer that you should be eating mussels. But I've seen them in soups. I've seen them in pasta dishes where they come right in the dish with the pasta.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you get, but those I always felt like they were grilled too and then put in the pasta.
Probably.
At the end.
But a lot of people steam them.
Yeah.
So that's a common way to cook mussels.
They'll pop too.
Yeah, they do. It's the heat that pops them. Not the fear of flames.
Right.
But you, usually if you're like in a pub that specializes in stuff like that, they're gonna offer steamed mussels, a bucket, and they usually come in a galvanized bucket, you know, and there's a whole bunch, and you just start shucking them, and you can go through dozens and dozens of them.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
not much meat on them.
Right, just as a little bite.
How about escargot? Do you like escargot?
Oh, no, I don't.
Really?
I don't. I'm not a... The little tentacles that tickle my throat, and I'm just not up to it, man.
Oh, give me a break. They don't stick out.
Yeah.
Oh, I love escargot.
Do you really?
Fantastic. Some places, and you don't see it much anymore.
It's, Cousin Joe,
it's
man.
Kinda
you
like,
and Cousin Joe eat that crap.
It's kind of like liver pate. You know, you don't see that around. It's an old school hors d'oeuvre.
Coming up next, we might scallop your shell or catch your steelhead. Stick with us. We'll be back. Story. Same old song and dance, my friend. Shaving, looking loser, you played with my gun. No smooth face, a lawyer could get you undone. Say love ain't the same old Southside. This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
It's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in each and every weekend. We appreciate you doing that and listening to our banter. Today we're talking a little bit about going wild on the Barbie, and we've been around the pheasants, the turkeys, the
we're
squids,
talking about
and mussels.
We're talking about the grill, just to go be totally clear on that.
Yeah, right.
It's not like spring break or anything. Right.
Different Barbie. Yes. I get it. But anyway, those were the pipes of Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, man?
No, that was actually Men at Work.
Who can we feed now?
Uh-huh. Scallops on the half shell. This is another thing you can buy in your freezer case, and it's a very impressive thing to throw on your grill because, again, you've got 4 minutes. You're going to put it on a hot grill. You bring them out. They're frozen. You thaw them, rinse them. You put a little bit of... I would go with butter this time and lemon and a little sea salt and pepper. Throw them on the grill and let them cook right in that butter. 4 minutes.
Are they connected to the shell? Do you have to like pop them out when you're done? Yep. I mean,
I've made them for you before, haven't I?
Yeah, no, I've not had them at your place. Oh. And this, I've never eaten them on the half shell before. I've always eaten them in a dish.
You thought they came in a tube.
Right, yeah. Nah. But, no, you know, I bought them in a seafood case and things before. But they're
large scallops.
Yeah, and there's all different sizes of them. And some, the littler ones you put in salad, the bigger ones you grill up and use as a protein.
I love scallops.
On a salad or something, right?
I stinking love them.
Yeah.
And some people can do them right and some can't.
What's the difference?
Not to overcook them.
Ah.
And to buy good quality product.
Well, there kind of goes like we started out the show with.
Just like the beet.
Right.
The meat.
Yep. You got to get a good one or you're not.
Yeah. So scallops on the half shell. Here's the cool thing. You've seen the Shell gas station logo.
Yeah.
That shell. That's the shell from a scallop.
Sure.
And it's a quintessence. It's just like an iconic look.
Yep.
So when you bring these out and have a platter of them, I'm thinking if you're having a party by the pool or in the backyard or on the boat or whatever, and you've got a bunch of friends and you want to just jazz it up a little bit, they won't break the bank.
Right.
And you won't get stuffed on them because they're dinky. But
hit them with a little cilantro or something green right on the top.
Sure.
Maybe
sure.
Even a little parsley.
Yep.
And that just pretties them up a little bit. And you want the scallop to do the work. Don't over-season them because you're there to have the scallop, not a big, bold flavor. But they're delicate and they're nice.
You could even do the McCormick's jerk seasoning. If you want a little red profile on them, or they have a blended pepper blend that's just basically dried peppers, and there's a lot of red to it.
Paprika or whatever in it,
you could put that pepper blend over the top of it and get it on the shell, and it's just a great look.
Right.
And that tastes great, too.
So, you know, one of the things that a lot of people overlook because it's hard to do in the backyard, but you have a fryer in the backyard, and you is it Timber Ridge?
Timber Ridge,
and it's a... And it's a propane heated deep fryer.
If you look at thegrillingguys.com, you'll see a picture of me and Jeff Foxworthy.
Right.
And he and I repped that product together.
Okay.
He got paid differently than I did, I'd say.
You got one of the fryers and he got the cash? Is that how that worked?
I think he got like $50,000 for the day and I got like $1,000.
Right, yeah.
Well, so that's how that goes.
You might be a redneck.
So that's my introduction to Timber Ridge. And it was a fun company. It's a really cool product. I don't think it's made anymore because just not enough people deep fry.
Right.
But I love mine, and I keep it out all summer long. It's got an oil filter on it and everything, and it's a big console. You hit it with the gas. I modified the gas burners and stuff on it so it works properly, overrode all the safety mechanisms because they kept tripping it off.
Sure.
You know, they let it run for 3 minutes so it could get approval from the AGA. Right. Well, you can't deep fry for 3 minutes.
Right.
Sorry.
350 is where you want to be, not 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
So where I'm going with this is fresh caught steelhead, and there's plenty of guys who've been in the rivers right now catching steelhead. The best way I've ever had steelhead was a guy named, I think it was Bill Draper. He had a boat on Lake Michigan called Red Boat. And I went out with him several times a year. He had a generator on his boat and a great big cutting board on the stern. And the first steely that came on the boat, we'd still have lines trolling. He'd be back there filleting that thing up. He'd cut out the mud vein down the center. Mm-hmm. He'd fillet it and then cut it up into chunks, roll it in Progresso breadcrumbs,
mm-hmm.
and throw it in a little Fry Daddy running off the generator.
Yep.
And, I mean, you just caught this thing 15 minutes ago, and there's a plate full of little cubed breaded, and then he hit them with Mrs. Dash and lemon pepper. These things were so, again, mouth's watering right now. They're so stinking good. He couldn't make them fast enough after a while because the first time you start eating one, the machine gets going, and you cannot stop. Progresso breadcrumbs, Mrs. Dash, and lemon pepper. There's nothing harmful there at all.
Right. Easy to do, and just like any fried fish, you're only in there 2 or 3 minutes. They float a little bit, and bang.
And it's so fresh that, I mean, there's nothing fishy there whatsoever, and steelhead's a phenomenal cut anyway.
Right.
And they're so fresh that, my goodness, you are going to be really happy. There's a reason to go steelhead fishing.
Yeah, last weekend was the trout opener, and that's usually an annual journey for me, and I did not do it. I missed that, and we'll get some steelhead left in the river a little bit usually when we're there, and it's a great place to catch. I'm a trout guy.
They were late this year.
Yeah,
though.
And it's great.
I went up, and we saw some walleye. We saw no steelhead.
Really?
Now, a few days later, I saw Brad Enzing on Facebook saying the steelhead are in. It's like, sure.
Yeah, right.
5 days after I go.
Yeah.
It's hard to take a day off, just, you know. And I don't like going on the weekends because there's so many fishermen in the water.
Yeah. And you try to hit it, and you almost need like local knowledge or call a guide or something to see if they're.
You got
to
have somebody saying now.
Right. Yeah. And get up
there. And Brad was kind enough to put it on Facebook.
Yeah. Our friends down at Allen Bob's, I talked to them, the walleye. They're just slamming them in the Detroit River right now.
Really?
Big hogs.
Mm-hmm.
Big hogs. And guys are going down there and limiting out and, you know, 8, 9, 10-pound fish. They're not the best eaters, but what a riot to catch. And
yes.
I guess it's a great run this year.
Well, here's a great recipe. Well. That steelhead recipe would be great for the large walleye.
That's where I was going with it. Right. Exactly. Is that because they just get steakier. They're not the
little
flaky
grainy.
Little fillet when they get big and thick like that. But, again, you cube them up. And put that breading and the light seasoning on it, deep fry that.
Now, the perch are hitting all over right now, and with those, I like to go to just dragging them through drakes.
Right. And speaking about dragging things, it's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Not feel manly. Today's man law. The head nod is an acceptable way to greet another guy when simply walking past. You ever do that?
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you walk by somebody in the hallway at work. You give them a little nod.
Well, here's how you separate the friends from the strangers. No words are needed to be said. An upward nod is for friends. A downward nod is for a fellow men that you might not know.
Oh, all right. So you go, hey.
You just shake your head down.
Right.
Because you don't know him. But if you know him, you're giving him a what's up with the head.
Yeah, and I think that, you know what, that has to do with
universal
his eye
language.
Contact. It's a little eye contact. You're going to want to make eye contact with the ones you know and the ones you don't, maybe not. I don't know. Is that how that works?
Especially if you own money from a bet you lost.
Well, the good thing is you can only do sure thing bets, and then you'd win every time with your buddy, kind of like I do with you. I don't bet you very often unless I know I'm going to win.
Yeah, well, that would be like never.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So we covered head nods, turkey breasts, squid. How about squid? You ever do any squid?
Are you kidding me? No way.
No?
Nope. Isn't that calamari?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've eaten
it. Big Paulie says, got 'em.
Okay. So whatever he says, I get it. You know,
that's a delicacy.
I'm the guy that eats it breaded with the little rings, and if you get the one with all the little tentacles on it, I'll eat that one. I know that Michelle won't, and others won't. They kind of like steer away from that. It's like, ooh, I don't want all of that. The little rings, though, that
baby
they
squid.
Dip them in yep. marinara and, mm-hmm. and go with it, right? Mm-hmm. So
I happen to really appreciate squid, and I don't know, it's one of those strange things that you eat that you acquire a taste for.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping to acquire a taste for some octopus now, because that picture that he sent me, I'll post that on the Grilling Guys Facebook page. Hey, if you haven't liked our Facebook page, shame on you. Get on to Facebook / The Grilling Guys and give us a like. I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy. Don't forget to go to thegrillingguys.com for all your resources. There's a bar on the right that'll show all of our sponsors. You can click to the links, if whether you want Stormy Cromer's, a Henry rifle, or just want to check on Old World Olive Company.
Coming up next, we're going to bring this train to the station. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Here come the rich man in his big long limousine. Here come the poor man, now you got to have his green. Here come the banker and the lawyer and the cop. One thing for certain, it ain't...
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got 6-packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we're going to talk a little Cinco de Mayo flank steak fajita. What you
or
thinking?
Skirt steak.
Oh, yeah. So what's the difference, Bob, between a flank
You'd
and a skirt?
You'd have to ask a butcher.
Right, yeah.
A skirt steak is traditional Mexican profile, but I think they use flank, too. The flank's not quite as tender as a skirt, in my opinion, but somebody could argue that.
Right. Suffice to say it's a different cut of meat, but they're close.
Yep.
Right? Both of them are going to be thin and longer.
And they used like to be junk.
Right.
They used to be considered junk.
Right.
So they got popular, just like brisket.
Right. I'm saying the dimension of a piece of paper, maybe a little narrower, but the same length, you know, 5-6 inches
wide. It looks like a rack of ribs, you know, just
with
long
no bones
and flat.
In it.
Yeah. But it's a wonderful piece. So do a nice flavor profile on that. I'd go simple. I wouldn't get crazy with it. I would just do some EVO and some sea salt, a little pepper, and I'd go crazy with what I finish it off with, and I would do like a chimichurri or some kind of a nice relish like a chimichurri, a marinade, something
That's
like
after
that.
After it's cooked.
Yeah.
Right.
Just to finish it.
So
once you've sliced it, and then you want to make sure and slice it on a 45 when you make your cuts against the grain,
because right.
it's a little bit of a tougher meat. And you do it about an eighth of an inch thick, quarter inch thick.
So the grain runs lengthwise in this piece of meat, mm-hmm. and you're going across the
yep.
grain so that you get nice pieces that'll break apart.
Yeah,
when you
and
bite
they're
them.
About 5-6 inches long that
right.
way.
Yep.
Otherwise, they'd be 1.5-2 feet long.
Right. And but that going across the grain guarantees your tenderness. You cut it on the bias. You get a nice thin but wider strip of it to,
yep.
to put on your fajita.
Lightly fry some nice corn shells. Throw a little guac on there and some. Some fresh tomatoes,
you know,
some cilantro,
right now I've got a jarred corn
God,
salsa.
Hungry.
I got a jarred corn salsa,
nice.
And it's a little bit sweeter. It's not mm-hmm. the hot one. That works really well on that as well. Now, you're grilling that to what? Like
medium
maybe
rare.
Medium rare,
yep.
right.
No more.
Don't go any
Good
further.
Good point.
Yep.
Yeah, do not go any further.
Because it'll get tough quick.
I said don't go any further.
Right.
what other nice little... things in the Mexican profile for Cinco de Mayo do you do? Have you ever made your own fajitas?
Well, yeah. I mean, at home? Or,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll do that all the time.
What
it's
do you
one
do
of my
for
favorite
a sauce?
Dishes.
What do you do to spice them?
You know, we've got a Goro, G-O-R-R-O, right? Goro is a brand of seasonings.
You mean Goya.
Goya. I'm sorry. Yes. Mm-hmm. Goya is what I'm looking for. And they have some some profiles.
Like that, the citrus?
Yeah,
pepper.
Exactly. Citrus is the one. Because it's not super hot, but it's got a little bit of bite to it, but it's got that citrus, dried citrus in there.
If you have one of the newer, better Homes and Gardens cookbooks, my wife has one that 10 years ago, 15 years. Our original one's like 40 years old. That's the Bible.
Everybody got one of those from their mom.
Yeah, the pages
are
all falling out. But if you get one of these last 5 or 10 years, they've got a recipe for fajitas in there, and it's like salsa and Worcestershire sauce, and you pour that on. So you start sauteing your meat, you throw your peppers, onions, and all that stuff in there, and then you put this combination of salsa and Worcestershire, and you'd have to look in that book to get the exact recipe, but that is a phenomenal, really cheap, easy way to do fajitas, and we've done them for decades in our house.
Yeah,
like
and
that.
You can mix that up with the beef or the chicken or even shrimp if you want.
I bet you could, sure.
And put anything you want inside of there
a
with the peppers
fajita?
And onions.
What are you, crazy?
Hey, man, I'm just saying. They sell them. People buy them. You're going to eat them just like that.
But, only on Cinco de Mayo. And what's your favorite drink for today going to be?
Margarita.
Ah, and yes. What's a perfect margarita?
Within reach.
Okay. There's nothing this man doesn't have an answer for. That's why I love you, brother. Okay, here's a perfect margarita. You're going to use 1.5 parts tequila, 1 part triple sec or Cointreau if you've got the bucks, and then 1.5 parts, I use Daly's sweet and sour.
Okay.
That's it. You get a nice, you put some that sweet and sour on the rim, put some bar salt on it, fill it with ice, pour that mixture over it after you've shaken it. Voila. It's perfect. That's the first drink I learned to make bartending at Ferris. Yeah. Tommy told me, you learn to make this, you'll make tips. He was right.
Yeah, exactly. And tipsy girls on the other side of the bar. But you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Hey, get out there and fire up a grill and create some grill envy in your neighborhood. We'll talk with you next week.